Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you come to keep an open mind, you will see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You will also see where we can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. We need to get rid of that old ego that keeps us separate, just like that one holy instant when we believed we were separate from God and formed this physical illusion of physical life, which is but a dream. And that's the dream we're going to pursue tonight because, as I'm sure all of you know, we lead many lifetimes in order to round out our soul. And Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre is in the studio, and she's going to help you deal with irrational fears or phobias or current life challenges by taking you to a lifetime where you had developed that particular issue and hopefully will erase the negative karma in your current life. Now, just to let you know, Dr. McIntyre is a regular on our show. She is a psychologist. She's an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. She has three books at present: The Fast Road to Happiness, subtitled Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. They're all wonderful books that I would recommend you go to Amazon.com to find. And all you need to do is look at the promotion for tonight, and those books will appear there. They will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. Now, you will just get a one-life reading tonight unless she feels compelled to go to more than one life, which is rare, but not out of the ordinary. If you want a full past life exploration, please contact her. Her prices are very spiritual, and the more work you do on your past lives, the better equipped you will be to deal with your current life challenges. I mean, you can do decades of psychotherapy, and you can do one extensive past life regression and make the same amount of progress that you could spend on decades of psychotherapy for less than what you'd pay a psychiatrist. So consider the benefits, and I'm going to give you her website. So to schedule a past life exploration or learn about her books, go to her website, which is MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and I will spell that for you. Mary Lou is MARILOU McIntyre, MCINTYRE.com, MaryLouMcIntyre.com. And with that said, I'm pleased to announce that Dr. McIntyre is in the studio, so let's give her a big welcome and ask how she is tonight. How are you, Dr. McIntyre? Mary Lou? Hello, everybody. I'm sorry for that. I'm not sure why I was cut off from the show, but I'm back with you. And I've lost Dr. McIntyre in the process, so I'm going to go to the first caller of the evening, who is Camilla, and I'm going to ask her to carry the ball for me and tell the audience what she's hoping to get out of the show while I reconnect with Dr. McIntyre. And Camilla, I'm coming to you. Hold the line. The studio is apparently misbehaving tonight. Camilla, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Camilla, would you be willing to take just 2 minutes to tell the audience what you're hoping to achieve tonight? And in the meantime, I will call back Dr. McIntyre.
Okay.
Thank you so much, dear.
All
Go
right.
for it.
Okay. Well, out of the show, I think that it's important that you learn about your history, your past life, all of that information in order to release anything that's holding you back.
Hi, David. I'm sorry. I disconnected.
All right. Okay, Camilla, excuse me for interrupting. I have Dr. McIntyre.
Thank you.
Sorry for the confusion, folks. We had a big blip where both Dr. McIntyre and I were removed. But Camilla, finish up what you were saying, dear, and then we'll start the show, and you'll be the first person to get a reading.
Great.
Oh, thanks. I was pretty much finished. I was just saying I think that it's important in order to move forward that you know your past, know yourself, which includes your history.
Beautiful. Well, I'm sure Dr. McIntyre would agree with that. Mary Lou, how are you tonight?
I am just fine. I'm anxious to talk to everybody and, you know, you just go flying around the past lives and it's just hard to keep up with everybody.
Well, it certainly can be. And we still have several callers. We may have lost one or two during the dead space, but we'll get more. And let me just assure those that are on the line right now that you will have a chance to talk to Dr. McIntyre. And for people that call in later, it's catch as catch can. And Mary Lou, I'm not going to limit you or time you. I am just going to turn it over to you in spirit to do the work that you feel you need to do with these people. Because I've made it known to the callers that they need to call in before 7:30 if they want to be guaranteed a reading. And quite frankly, I think that it is an interruption to a process for me to time you. So I'm going to let you go and go with the flow. And let me just say to those of you who are on the line that what Dr. McIntyre needs from you is not questions about where you're going to be, where you are now, what are your struggles, what are your fears. She deals with irrational fears because those develop in previous lifetimes. And if you have current challenges, no fears, then that's something else you could put forward to her. But you need to give her something substantial to work with for her to find the right Akashic record for you. Isn't that right, Dr. McIntyre?
Absolutely right. We're here to clean up our act.
Good. Well,
and our lives.
Great. Well, Camilla's on the line, so Camilla, say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you. And you just tell me what your problem is, and we'll release it for you, hopefully.
Oh, perfect. I think it's an issue of worth, I would think. I think self-love and self-worth, for sure.
And what about it?
I have issues feeling fulfilled with self. So a lot of times I look at words where I try to fill up.
Those are your issues. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and they're bothering you in this lifetime. You don't feel that you're an image of God, the Creator?
No, no, and I do things, sometimes destructive things, you know, or things with food, and, you know, as a result.
So you get involved in attachments to people,
mm-hmm.
places, and things that you try to use to fill yourself up with that leave you coming up on empty?
Correct.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Let us see why you're doing that to yourself. And you don't, you know, realize that you are supposed to be perfect. And when you look in the mirror, you should see perfect reflection of everything that is perfect. And, you know, I keep saying that word a lot because that reinforces even within myself, of course, the vibration of perfection. I'm going back. Oh, I'm seeing you in, well, it's the old name for it, Siam. I think it's, is that Iran or Iraq now?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but it was Siam, and I always see it as like a golden city. There's golden spires and golden buildings, and it's just my idea of, well, of heaven, of everything that anybody would ever want was there in Siam during, you know, during the golden days before its collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, I'll try to tune and see if you can open up your subconscious or, you know, your past memories of being there. You were not one of the golden people, sadly enough. I see you as a very small child, really small. You're about 5 or 6 years old. And you're walking around all by yourself on the street, and you're begging for money, for money, but mostly for food. And, I see. Your mother is hidden in one of the doorways, and she has sent you out.
Keep going.
And she has sent you out to do the begging because she figures you will get more than she would. And so that was your upbringing. Your early life was begging for food and pretending to be sick or pretending to have a hurt leg.
Keep going.
Or whatever it took, you know, to emulate people, to, you know, give more and more and more and more. And if you weren't successful at it, your mother got really mad. I don't see a father around, so that was your life. And you were denigrated, humiliated. Whatever the mother could do to bring up sympathy in other people without her being exposed as, you know, as the mean guy.
Don't worry.
It's very distracting.
I know. I'll tell you this. I don't know what's happened. The studio is screwing up tonight. And we're not going to be able to go for the full hour and a half. I don't know what happened, but when we became disconnected, it screwed up the timing. But please go ahead, and my apologies to those that won't be able to get readings tonight.
Okay. So this is, are you there, darling?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So this was how you were raised. And then when you got into your teens, then your mother prostituted you or, you know, put you out. And that's how you lived your adult life, too. And, you know, taking money for sex and just, you know, no values at all, no interest in anything except making sure that you got a bag of money every day, you know, so that you wouldn't be punished. Now, what I have to say about that is that's certainly not happening in this lifetime, nor is it apt to happen in this lifetime. So you can just, you know, throw out all that pain and suffering and humiliation and, you know, all those denigrating things that you locked in your cellular memory. You finally, you died of some kind of a sex disease, and you just kind of wasted away. But in the meantime, boy, you spread that around too. So that's a heavy karmic thing that you have worked off rather successfully, or I should say successfully, in this lifetime and, you know, lifetime since then too. It has taken you a while, but at least now you don't have that, you know, illness problem. But when you passed in that lifetime, you just vowed that life was too hard, there was nothing special about it, and you're never coming back. Well, obviously, when you went into spirit, you've had that rearranged in your consciousness to realize that you have to come back to keep learning until you do fully realize that you are the perfected image of God. And that's what you're striving on. So you can release, just release, say, that has nothing to do with here and now. I am in perfect harmony with natural law. I'm in perfect harmony with nature. I'm in perfect harmony with my fellow beings. Keep affirming perfection and harmony and love. Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, and as you keep doing it, and just, you know, command yourself to be full of light. That's what you want, full of light and joy and happiness. And, you know, you might have to talk yourself into it initially, but it'll work, I promise you.
How does that?
You do control your life.
How does that sound, Camilla?
That was deep.
Do you believe that you can do what she's telling you to do?
I do believe that. I do. I do.
That's all.
And you have to try it, and then you'll know it's true.
Yeah. And all it takes is belief as a stepping stone to inner knowing. Wouldn't you say,
right,
Dr. McIntyre?
Believing is seeing. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me let...
God bless you, hon.
Let me let people know. I believe that this studio is going to cooperate. I think that the mistake that I made was not to set up the show for the full length of time. However, once the show starts, I have 2 hours in the studio, so we should be able to go for the full hour and a half. The only drawback is that new callers won't be able to get in. So we should be able to get to all of you folks, so no worries. And if for some reason we can't do it because the studio has screwed up tonight, let me ask you, Mary Lou, would you be available Tuesday night, the 13th?
No, I won't be.
Oh.
Well, wait a minute. No, I won't be. I'm sorry.
What about
I'll be out of town.
Okay. All right. I believe that we're going to be able to get through the full period of time. So do not worry, folks. And if for some reason the show gets clipped, I will have Dr. McIntyre back on in November. I'll do a special edition show. And what I had said to somebody else is that I post my show listings at least a couple weeks in advance, and I'm going to give you the website to go to look at the roster of upcoming shows. I have about 6 spiritually gifted guests on every month, such as Dr. McIntyre. I have psychic mediums, past life readers. I have angel readers. I have astrologers. I have seers and healers. So, you know, I have a very diverse group of people, including international best-selling authors. I've had movie stars, religious leaders. So it's a for those of you who haven't tuned in before, it's a very eclectic array of spiritually gifted people. And you can go to blogtalkradio.com/AuthorDavidClark, spelled with an E. That's blogtalkradio.com/AuthorDavidClark. And everybody that is in the studio now has gotten Dr. McIntyre's website, which again is MaryLouMcIntyre.com. So, Camilla, thank you for calling in tonight. Feel free to continue listening. I'm going to move on to the next caller. Okay, my dear.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, here it goes. God bless, Camilla. Okie doke. I'm coming to Melissa. Melissa, you're live on the air with Dr. McIntyre. Please say hello.
Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Melissa. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, good. That's very good. So what can I do for you to make your life better?
Well, I've been working on myself as far as clearing out all my, you know, emotional stuff. And I've noticed stuff over the years. I seem to draw dysfunction to me, and I know some of it is mirrored back stuff that I have had to work on over the years. But and it's not the same thing over the years. People just seem to gravitate toward me, and I get to know them. And I call it like lost puppy dog syndrome, where you want to help people, you know, and they seem normal when you meet them, but then it comes out, and they're not normal, and it's like, whoa. And I've noticed that over the – and I do realize that over the years I didn't put up boundaries to kind of keep these people at bay. And I've learned to do that. And the latest one is a woman I work with. She just has basically thrown me under the bus. I have not done anything to this woman. And I seem to piss people off unintentionally or something. I don't know. I seem to set stuff off on other people. And it comes at me, and I look at this as this learning lesson. So I'm like, did I really piss off a lot of people in my past life? Or is this just karmic stuff that I need to clean up?
Yeah. Does that mean, you know, what you've just said, does that mean that you have trouble maintaining friendships or initiating friendships?
No, I make friends easily, but it seems to be people that have a lot of problems, and they, like, start dumping all this on me. I'm a good listener, of course. I try to help people and be there for them. But
you don't know how to protect yourself from their problems. Is that it?
That's how it was earlier on, but over the last couple of years, I've noticed that, you know, I need to put up boundaries, and I don't feed into the energy of it. But it's almost like we're the normal people.
Answer because I don't know how many of us are really normal.
Who wants normal?
Like me to delve in for you?
Like we're the upbeat, positive people in the world, but it's just as far as I guess.
Well, I'm sorry. I think the phone cut out a bit. Are you concerned about the fact that you attract irregular people or irrational people? Is that your concern, or is your concern learning how to cope with other people as they are?
Now, I can do that. It just seems like I attract the dysfunction.
Okay, so that's your concern. That's what's affecting your life right now. Is that it? Why are you attracting dysfunctional people?
Yeah, I mean, especially in relationships with men. The last one I dated, he seemed really nice and normal until I got to, I'm like, whoa, you know, he's got a lot of stuff. And, and I kind of pushed him away.
A lot of stuff.
Stuff he's got to deal with. And so I put up my boundaries. I said, okay, you need to go work on yourself because you're not in a position to have a relationship. And
Okay. Well, let's see then. What is blocking you from having a happy, full, rewarding life? I think that's kind of a general thing, but pretty much what you're inquiring about, isn't it?
Especially with relationships, you know, what do I need to clean up?
Okay, very good. So take a deep breath and fill yourself with light now. And, I see you very interested. We went to England, an office. You are a woman, but you're dressed like a man. You're very, very tailored, and you have your hair is blonde, kind of a dark golden blonde, and it's pulled back in a real tight, like a bun. A bun in the back of your head. Very severe looking, very, very severe. And this is very possibly the lifetime just before this one, because I feel that there's a very strong tie over. You're an attorney. No, you're like an assistant attorney because you weren't allowed to get full accreditation to be an attorney because you're a woman. And, of course, that set up some, feelings of poison in you or feelings of unfairness and prejudice, because that's certainly what it is. But you were very effective in the court, and you had murder trials. You were involved in, you know, big-time legal work. But you were not happy with your lifestyle. You weren't happy because you couldn't get to the top of your profession. You couldn't even really get into your profession except as an aide or a sidekick or a gopher, you know, and that really rankled you. And so it's all these things that have irritated you personally because your forward, your goals have been thwarted. I don't know if I can say averted. I guess averted, blocked. And but you continue. You're working for a very prestigious law firm. But personally, your life is not happy. Professionally, to the degree that you're able to function in the profession, is, fulfilling and rewarding for you, but not to the degree, when you go to bed at night, you're not really happy. You're saying, oh, God, another day. And I'm not kidding. That's really the way you felt. And then when you wake up in the morning, you don't say, oh, goody, another day to help people. You say, oh, no, not another day. So you have done that kind of to yourself. And I'm not saying whether whether it's justified or not, that's what happened during that lifetime. You became quite embittered. And you embittered the people around you, too. You were not, you know, a very open, friendly person. You were very, very effective, you know, like in taking notes and researching and stuff like that. But you were not particularly good with people. I hate giving readings like this because they're not, you know, nobody likes to hear that. But then that's why you're talking to me. That's why I'm trying to help you so that you can realize that this is a choice. People choose how they want to be. If they realize that they can choose, and I'm telling you, you can choose. You chose in that lifetime to become very embittered and, I get the word caustic. And in this lifetime, you realize that there are a lot of people like that because you're being confronted with them, not necessarily those specific personality hang-ups or blockages, but, you know, they're just really not on track. They're not happy and achieving their goals, just as you're not happy or achieving your goals. So what my guide is asking me to pass on to you is for you to fill yourself with light every day and happiness. And when you go to bed at night, make a point of thanking God for another day of living and helping people or, you know, loving life, that kind of thing. And when you wake up in the morning, say, oh, goody, another wonderful day to help serve others. Or, you know, something that's, you know, relates to being grateful and humble at the same time. And that would just be the beginning of turning things around for you and getting rid of that cellular memory that's locked in. Perhaps you don't even realize that you've got this bitterness or contempt. Yeah, there's contempt there too, locked in, within you. And you're not basically, you're not really that kind of person. And I think you're realizing it at this time, and that's why you've asked the question that you did. And you don't have to be like that. You don't have to confront or associate even with people that are like that. If people are like that, bless them, fill them with light, and go on your way. And direct yourself towards your own goals and helping others and being happy and, you know, whatever it is that you're striving for. Does that help you now?
It does. Actually, and I'm in a job where it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of a repeat thing. Where, you know, it's getting to the
oh,
point.
Oh, really?
I'm not bitter towards
well,
the job.
Well, that's probably why you're having a problem, you know, being surrounded by people that just keep pounding into you that, you know, this is a hard life and I'm a hard person, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so just know that you don't, it doesn't have to affect you anymore, okay?
Okay. Right, gotcha. Makes sense to me. Thank you.
Yeah, well, good. God bless you. Let me know how that goes, okay?
Yes, and just to let people know, Dr. McIntyre is going to be back on the show on December 21st. So if you have anything to report as far as improvements in your life, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, wonderful. Hi. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Melissa?
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Now,
God bless.
God bless. Just to let people know, It's very important. If you want to be on the air tonight with Dr. McIntyre, do not hang up and call back. The studio is closed to new callers. So please stay on the line. I will get to each and every one of you. Our next caller is deep, like deep as the ocean, Dr. McIntyre. Hello, Deep. You're on the air. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Dr. McIntyre. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Deep. What an unusual name.
It is indeed, yeah.
Yes. So what can I do for you?
Like one of the previous callers, I have a self-love issue. I do care for myself. I do love for myself. I do love myself, but there is something missing, I feel.
I'm sorry, you love what?
He loves himself, he's saying, but he's getting to what the problem is.
Okay.
Yes. I just feel that there's something missing in my ability to love myself wholly and fully and truly. Besides, I hesitate and I have some kind of fear generally in my personal life and in my professional life, because of which I'm not able to develop my full potential either professionally or in my relationship.
Wait a minute, you're not able to what? I'm sorry, you're not able to what?
Realize my potential.
Realize potential, hon.
Personally? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry.
Personally and professionally?
Yes,
hello?
That's right. Yes, it is. Sorry,
okay.
I probably have a bad line or it's my accent.
No, it's the line, Deep. It's not your accent. Yeah.
Okay, and so you want to know how you can achieve the health, wealth, and happiness that you deserve, right? And get that feeling of realizing your perfection, because that's what we're all striving for, and we're going to keep coming back until we hit it. You know. So let's see what we can do for you. Take a deep breath. Fill yourself with light and there's kind of a decision here that has to be made, whether to take you to a lifetime in India or a lifetime in Argentina. They're going to India to a monastery in India. And this is in, it's on the border. It's in the Himalayas. And this retreat, that's what I'm calling it for lack of a better word, but it's a monastery. You are a very young priest. You were an orphan, as a matter of fact, in that lifetime. When you were very young, you became orphaned. And the priest took you in, and you worked for them. You cleaned for them and, you know, ran errands for them. And, of course, you took the lessons, and you went to church, and you sang the songs, and you were very, very happy doing that, and eventually they ordained you into the priesthood, and you were very good at helping young children. You were really very good, very compassionate with young children, because you had been through, you know, a lot of pain and suffering when you were very young, and so you understood what it was that they needed. And you were very sensitive the first word that came was tender, but that's not really, you know, a proper, except you are a very sensitive person, and you don't give yourself any credit for accomplishing anything. That's why in your personal and business life, you're not finding fulfillment because you are not recognizing the things that you do to help others in this lifetime I'm talking about. And it was the same. I mean, that's part of your, part of your basic nature is to be very humble and not, you know, accept any acclaim or anything, which is, you know, which is lovely. But you must not forget the teachings that you had there in that wonderful monastery that taught you you are a child of God and you're here to manifest God. And that was something that you could never quite realize or accept into your full nature, that you were really here to reflect God, to, you know, because God is not walking around. So he sent us, he, she, I should say, created us to walk around and enjoy nature and love one another. But that never, you just were always too humble to acknowledge within your heart of hearts that you were a creation or a creature of God. And that has been like put through your cellular makeup since that lifetime, and you've had many lifetimes where you've worked really hard for other people. You have always, most of your lifetimes have been very fulfilling through being of service to others. But now you have to sit down and look into your heart and find the God within you. Will you do that?
Yes, I will, yes.
Did you feel any of that emotion or activity as I was sharing it with you?
Yeah, what you said was very true in terms of my being humble and not taking credit for what I am or what I'm able to do. And
mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how I can heal that issue in me. How I can resolve it.
Well, it's the same issue that you had in the Himalayas. You were not able to accept the fact that you are a creation of a divine being. Therefore, you must be divine because you are created in that being's image. If you accept any of that, I mean, we came from somewhere deep, you know. We came from somewhere, and I would prefer to think it's from a divine source rather than any other source, and strive for that divinity. You have to do it. You have to go into your heart of hearts and say, that is where God is. That's where God resides in me. That's where God is going to flow through me. And that's not an ego thing or anything like that. But there's nothing wrong with loving yourself as long as it's the divine aspect of you that you are loving and sharing with others. Try it. I think you'll like it. Really.
Yeah, I like the sound of it. Yeah, thank you. I will try it.
Okay, God bless you, and let me know. You can
sure,
go to my website or my email.
So I will. Thank you. Thanks, David.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling in. God bless. And we
thank
are
you.
Next coming to Tina. Following Tina, we're coming to Keita and then to June. And area code 413 was impatient and hung up, so they're not going to be able to get on tonight. That's too bad. Okay, Tina, you're live on the air with Dr. McIntyre. Please say hello.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. This is Tina calling. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Tina. Thank
Hi.
You for calling.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Well, yes, I want to look into my relationship with Red. The problem is we get very close, then he gets scared, and then he backs away. And I'm trying to look into our past life and see what happened in the past and what lessons we are supposed to learn in the future, like in this lifetime.
Let me see if I understand. You're going with somebody now, is that right? But you're having a problem with the relationship?
Yes.
And you think it's because of situations in a past life?
Yeah, I'm thinking something. He knows, we both know that we've connected in the past. But I don't know what it is that makes him scared when we get really close and then he pulls away.
Oh, I see. Well, he's the one that should be getting the reading then, huh?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
But let's see. What I can do is go back. Yes, you've been together many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have. And this should be your final time. You've been together often enough in different situations that you should have it all down now and just be able to come together and enjoy life as you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a problem, and I can't go into his problem, but I can go into how to, maybe... help you cope with it. I see one lifetime, it's like, I think you're in Buenos Aires, and you're on a farm, and he's the man, and you're the woman, and you have, you have quite a few children, but you're so happy, you're very happy together, and you raise your own food, and you sell the food at the market, and you have a nice little house that you keep immaculate, and that's the lifetime that you should hold in your mind, because you had everything, that anybody would want to be happy. I'm not talking about huge wealth and huge mansions,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that, but lots of love and
mm-hmm.
purpose and achievement, that type of thing. And if you radiate that that perfect love that you had for him in that lifetime, if you can bring that forward, because it's in you, that love is still there. That's why, you're back together again. That would help him to burn up or get over a lot of his problems, because it would reinforce his conviction, confirmation that you really love him and he's really worth loving. Do you get the distinction there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than go into, hard times or anything like that, that's the purpose of this whole, all these readings is for healing. And that's what my guides and what your record shows is the best way to bring forward, and on this occasion, you want to bring forward, not get rid of something from a past life, but magnify it and bring it forward in this life, and then just surround him with it. Don't talk about it. Don't say, see how much I love you? You know, not stuff like that, but do it. Show him. And if he gets, well, I'm not even going to go into, you'll know how to behave, because you're going to be functioning through your heart, okay?
Okay, because I had
tell
a
me,
vision.
Let me know when you get married. Huh?
Yeah, I had a vision where we were married, and I saw, like, twins, a boy and a girl. And so I'm like, what is
well,
this?
Well, there you
but
go.
Then he, yeah, okay.
Yeah, be positive now. Just be positive and fill him with light. Every time you think about it, fill him with light and love, your light and love, okay?
I will.
And that you
Thank
can do
you.
It a, that you can do at a psychic
level,
you know, just through blessing him. And thank you, Tina, for calling in, okay? God bless
thank
you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome,
God,
darling.
Bye.
Now, I think that you said something very important that could resonate for all people, and I'm grasping at straws here. I don't recall what it was, but the one point I'd like to make to people who have had the patience to hold on the line is that any of these readings can have bearing on you when Dr. McIntyre suggests things that will be helpful to all people in terms of having happy and healthy lives, and meditating upon, oh, I know what it was. You mentioned to think with your heart. It's interesting. I've written a book by that title. And
oh,
I
really?
Want, yes, it's soon to come out. It's soon to come out. And when I was in rehab, I had somebody sign my Alcoholics Anonymous big book and said, think with your heart. And I didn't quite get what they were saying. I do now. It's like considering the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When you can come from a place of heart-centeredness and consider the love that you have for yourself first, then for all others, and share that love. And when you are thinking, don't stay stuck in your head. Be heart-centered. And when you are heart-centered, you can do no wrong, right?
That's right. You see, what we have in our brain, you know, in our head, is the accumulation of every experience, every feeling, everything that has ever happened to us. And we keep acting and reacting on what we know, and that's what we know is just stuff that we've already done.
Right.
So when we make decisions or decide who we're going to communicate with or be with or what we're going to do, evaluate it through, of course, your past experiences, but then settle down and try to feel that. Try to feel what, if you put that in motion, how is that going to affect you, your surroundings, and, you know, the people around you? And that comes from feeling, not thinking.
Right. And I think that's so important, because a lot of people, some of the people tonight even, are afraid to feel because they're not embracing their humanity, which is connected to divinity. Our feeling.
Right.
Come from our heart, and our heart comes from our divine nature. And if we honor our feelings and experience them and express them in appropriate, loving ways, then we embrace all that we are. For God has given us the gift of this life and all the other lives to make ourselves whole. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Can I read just a quick paragraph out of my book, The Forever Principles?
Absolutely.
That was, okay, thank you. It was telepathically communicated to me from an angel. And she said, I know beyond a doubt that life is a miracle. I hear forever's wings pumping. She tells me we are all from the same divine source and our souls yearn to return to that source. In the meantime, we are one with each other and the universe. Right thought and right action perpetuates the miracle of longevity and fulfillment of purpose.
Love it.
Now, that's it. That's what else do we need? That's all we need to know.
That,
right?
That, absolutely. And so if you want to lead a long, happy, healthy life, get into the spirit of life. Think with your heart. And you can be here as long as you want to be, as long as you clean up your act and do it. Take action.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't try. Do it. Do it and be happy and focus on your joy and focus on loving yourself. Work on that. And what Dr. McIntyre has revealed to those callers tonight who've called in have been exercises that you can take into your meditation to practically apply to your current life. Right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's go to Keita. Keita was lucky to get back in. It looks like she had disappeared for a while, but maybe that's a mistake in the studio. There you are, Keita. How are you, honey?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. How are you?
I am fine, Keita. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. So,
good,
Dr. McIntyre, I've been struggling with some things, and I'm kind of worrying, similar to the last call, am I paying for something that I did to somebody in the last incarnation, or is this just karmic debt that I'm just supposed to be cleaning up? And the big themes are there's a constant theme about not fitting in and being mistreated by people, and not having my voice heard, and not being respected, and just being treated very poorly. And then it seems like every time...
Well, how are you being mistreated? Excuse me, how are you being mistreated?
Either
verbally,
some sort of betrayal...
Financially, physically?
Either some sort of betrayal, or being shut out of the group, or having opportunities taken from me, or just people not hearing me. It happens with men, but it happens more so with women. And I'm just trying to figure out what did I do? And how do I make this stop?
The obvious upfront thing would be you're not associating with the right people. You haven't found the people that... that think like you or are, functioning the same way you are. That's the immediate answer, right? Is that right to you? Does that sound right?
No, because it's not just in personal. It's not just in personal relationships. It's kind of as more the universal thing. It's like something in my spirit attracts very hurtful and toxic experiences with people. But it's not me not associating with the right people, because it's not just interpersonal. It's like a universal thing here.
How can it be universal? I'm trying to understand. If you're talking about not feeling like you fit in anywhere.
Right. Like it happens at work. It happens just in interpersonal relationships with women in groups.
Asking, how can it be universal when all the things that you've mentioned are personal?
Oh, okay.
Because
the relationships, this doesn't just happen in just my personal relationships with people. This is happening, it's like a global theme. It happens in school. It has happened in school. It happens, with healthcare providers. It happens, you know, in the supermarket. It happens just wherever. I mean,
but to you, right?
Yes.
Things happen to you. You're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
The way you function or are really unable to function happily,
yes.
Right?
Uh huh. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm not going to even go into the things that perhaps you could try to do to fit in, because, well, that's not my place. I'm here to see if there's something in your background. Oh, wow. And I think this was probably the lifetime just before this lifetime, and it was in the 1800s. You were a man. You were very big and brawny and strong, and you intimidated people, and you loved doing that. That was so funny to you when you would shake your fist at somebody and they would cower or whine or something. You just thought that was so funny. And you were, actually, you started out as, in your adult life, as a bouncer in a saloon. And that gave you great pleasure. See, now that's the key. This violence gave you pleasure. You used your size to intimidate people, and that gave you pleasure. And as time went on, your lack of fear and your aggressive attitude and like lack of caring or lack of concern made you the perfect pick for a union organizer. This was way back when, you know, it was just first being muttered and not really actively recognized, but you were hired as like a foreman in a, it was like a construction company where they were building houses and creating roads, you know, and digging water lines and things like that, wells, you know, things like that. And it was your role to keep these guys working, you know, at top speed and keep them out of trouble and, you know, all that. In other words, supervise their every move. And it was a very happy life for you. You were very good at your job, and you kept those men really working. And you kept the bosses really happy because they were, you know, getting the work done. So, but you never really thought about having friends. That, you know, your time was taken making sure that people did exactly what you said and reacted to you in every way that you wanted them to. And so there was, you know, no compassion or concern or interest or love at all. But it was a very happy life for you. You know, it takes all kinds. You've heard that expression. And, you know, people wish they could have happy lives. That was a happy life for you. However, that is not a true reflection of divine existence or harmony with natural law that we're supposed to learn through these life experiences. So while for some reason you had earned the right, you know, to be a bully in a lifetime, I guess. I mean, you know, I'm not rationalizing or trying to figure out why that was, just that it was, and it is now affecting your consciousness in this lifetime, where you're here to, you know, to mellow out. That's why you came back as a woman this time, because women are more mellow. And no insult there, David, no insult.
I'm not thinking of it as an insult. Thank you. Thank
you for
thinking of me.
So in this lifetime, well, a lot of the people, I think, you know, you must realize are people that you have hurt in past lifetimes. And there's still some part of you that is still overbearing. You like to tell people what to do. You're not violent, or, you know, you don't flex your muscles or hit people with pots or anything like that.
Mm.
But you do like to be the boss, and people don't like that. People don't, even if they need a good boss, down deep, they really don't like it, and that's probably why you're after a while, you know, with an acquaintance, you get out of step with them because you don't have a soft nature, you don't have a directed goal that you're striving for, and you're lifting others with you. You're that would be, of course, you know, an ideal life experience. And I think one, you know, that we would all love to have. But you're having to, it's like you're having to climb a ladder and half of the rungs are missing. You know, it just, things just aren't fitting in right for you. Isn't that right? Isn't that about how you feel?
Yeah, and I'm tired of it. I think I paid my debt. No more. I think I got it. I got it. So I'm wondering,
yeah,
at some point, do the tables turn, or do I just kind of keep trudging along like this? Because this is miserable.
Has anything I said? Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I said it hasn't
what
been
did
a happy
you say?
Life at all. It hasn't been
yeah.
a happy life.
Right, because you haven't found your notch yet or your niche. You have to focus on be the kind of, this is your exercise now, this is what I'm getting from a spirit side, be the kind of person that you want to have around you. Do you understand that?
I absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, because you will be putting out that energy, and everything is energy, and that energy is going to draw that type of person to you. Not,
okay.
So that you will be drawing the type of person, not that you're, you know, attaching anybody. You are, you're putting out the happy, the welcoming, you know, the kind person that you want to have in your aura, that you want to have in your life, right?
Right.
And so when you start feeling uptight, then that's when you draw, you know, these experiences and individuals that create tension or irritation. So you're going to have to really focus on filling yourself with light and peace and tranquility and smile a lot, whether you feel like it or not initially. Just start smiling, and people will smile back. And pretty soon that happy vibration, you know, is what is going to go out and attract people to you. You want to try that and see if that works? Because that's the best way to get rid of that burly vibration. You know what I mean by burly vibration?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, she said yes.
Okay. God bless you, hon.
Keita,
thank you
so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay,
you
we're coming to you, June. Hang in there. Well, I think that's a marvelous suggestion that you made to Keita. And I have heard in the past, fake it until you make it.
There you go.
You know,
there
the thing is, we don't always know intrinsically how to do it. But we're here as creators, and we attract like attracts like. And we often are not aware of the energy that we're putting out. And so we need to dig deep. And, you know, it's so brave of somebody to come forward with their stuff. Because then someone like yourself can listen and objectively reflect. And if somebody can receive the message and act upon it, act, that's the key word, then they can transform their lives.
That's right. They have to take control of themselves in order to achieve what they want.
Right.
And they've got to, you know, but people, oh my gosh, they blame God, or they blame mommy, or they blame the teacher, or they blame the sister. You know, they're always blaming somebody for their own shortcomings.
Right.
And it's too bad. They got to stop that.
That's what I call victim mentality. And not taking personal responsibility. So with that said, let's go to our last caller of the evening who's been patiently waiting. Her name is June, and I'm bringing her live now. June, you're live on the air with David Clark and Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. David Clark. Hey, Mary Lou.
Well, this is June from Florida, right? Been a long time, June.
How you been, Mary Lou?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. I will hope you willing to take a little mercy on me. I have a two-part question. I want to know if I've been following the Master's guidance and trying to bring prosperity into my life. I was wondering if there's anything
else.
Okay,
now wait a minute, June. I'm doing past life readings.
Yes, that's
true. Does that fit in with what you just said?
Yes, anything else I could do to break the blockage from my past life to bring more prosperity into my life